Amen. If you're not already there, open up to Genesis chapter 6. I want to do those readings again so that we get them into our mind. But we're looking at leading a family through faith today. But the title I have given the message is Being Warned of God. Being Warned of God. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And Hebrews 11, 7, we read, By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, when God spoke to Noah of the coming judgment in Hebrews 11 there was no sign of it. It says, not seen as yet. But the word of God made it a present reality to the heart that was enabled to mix God's word with faith. Faith doesn't wait to see a thing before it believes it. Scripture tells us in Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All that a man of faith needs is to know that God has spoken. Thus saith the Lord. That should settle everything. When one has the word of God as the basis of his or her convictions, they may stand calmly against the full flow of human opinion and prejudice. You see, it was the word of God that sustained Noah's heart during his long course of service. And the same word of God has kept millions of God's saints from that day to this, in the face of all the world's contradictions. And see, for the church in our day, the church has their formulas but no real faith. There are plans but no real power to go with those plans. But where the word of God sheds its light, it marks out for the man of God a sure and blessed path. Where it shines, no one is left to wander around in the mazes of human traditions and beliefs. Now the world in Noah's day, in Genesis 6, 11 and 12, we're told there was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. How could Noah stand his ground in such a wicked and evil day? How could Noah have preached righteousness, 2 Peter 2:5, for 120 years if the word of God had not been the foundation of his preaching? How could he have withstood the scoffs, the ridicule, testifying of the judgment to come? No storm clouds in the sky. The word of God was the ground on where he stood. And it was the Spirit of Christ that enabled him to stand firm in an evil and wicked day. And now, my fellow children of God, what else do we have with which we are to stand in service for Christ? The world of Noah's day has no real difference than our day. Do you know, I was thinking about this. 50 years ago, parents didn't have to worry about their children the way they do today. We were told to go down to the park and play, and we'd get together, a group of us, and we'd go and kick a ball around and play, and it was fine. Today, very few parents would just tell their children to go off down to a park somewhere and play around without any supervision. But children today are being taught that there is no God. They're being taught they are responsible only to themselves and accountable to no one. And every Christian home should have a family altar where the family sits together and prays and studies the Word and learns who this great and almighty God is. Now Genesis 6:10 says Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. How would Noah have raised these boys? He would have told them about God. He would have told them how to live a holy life for God. What a wonderful God that cared for them and loved them. You know, it's interesting that God is love. You find that twice in the Bible. Love, the love of God, you find 12 times in the Bible. But holy in reference to God is mentioned over 600 times in the Bible. And I wonder how much holiness we are teaching in our homes. How much are we displaying to our families? You see, it's all about good, godly character, not charisma. People want happiness, but they don't want holiness. It's not what God can do in you. People just want God to do something for them. God's become a utility, so to speak, in a person's life, not a deity. And how bad and corrupt the world they were in those days had fallen away from God and gone its own way, a way that was evil and heading for destruction. It's just like it is today. Now Jesus warned us in Matthew 24 that as of the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Listen, I want to make something absolutely clear today for both mums and dads. Our parents' faith does not save their children's soul. Now, I've got a good verse for that, Ezekiel 14:14, a very simple one. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. You see, it was the ark that saved Noah and his family. It wasn't Noah. Noah built and prepared the ark. He built and prepared an atmosphere around his family. He lived a life that led his family to being saved. He was leading his family through faith in the one true God. Noah didn't save his family. It was the ark that saved his family. Just as today, we can't save our family. Our ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one who can. But we can prepare, we can create an atmosphere in our homes that will lead our children to accept salvation by faith. Genesis 6:9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And children today need mums and dads that walk with God. They need parents being where God is, going where God is going, getting God's plan and God's purpose, not their own. They need parents who agree with God. And Noah's walk was reflected in his lifestyle. It says he was a just man and perfect in his generations. And this means he was righteous and blameless among the people of his time. His life was a reflection of his walk with God. And whether he was at home or work or around town, he was blameless. Now we know that we're walking with God without a doubt. It will always change our lifestyle. It will change the way we live at home, the way we work, and the way we walk around town. And if our lifestyle hasn't changed, and people don't notice something different, that's a sign that we're not walking with God. Now 1 John 1:6 is very simple. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, when we claim to be a Christian, claim to be holy and walk in darkness, and we act like a hypocrite, we cause all sorts of trouble for the children. They see the inconsistent walk of their parents. Now Noah, we know, listened to God. Verse 13, God said unto Noah, build the ark. God said, do this and do that. And then down to verse 22, it says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And as we walk with God, we learn to see what God wants. We know when God speaks. And when was the last time that you and I could really say we knew God's voice was leading us here or there? That he had spoken to us. I'm not talking about audible voices. I mean through the word, through prayer, through the preaching, through the singing of hymns. And if we're not hearing him, maybe we're just not listening to him. And to lead a family through faith, we have to become sensitive to when God speaks. And we need to listen very carefully. Now, God loved Noah. Verse 8 in Genesis 6 tells us Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because of Noah's walk, Noah found favor with God. And to raise godly children, parents need to love God beyond all the imaginations of love that we can think of. This love needs to be endless. It needs to be boundless. It needs to be selfless. It needs to be a love that just says he is who he is, Lord of all. He's a God who laid down his son's life so we could have life. And it's a life more abundantly, the scriptures tell us. Not a life that loves him on Sunday and is dead for the rest of the week. That's dead faith. And so many parents, they wonder why their children can be so excited and then at some stage don't want anything else to do with God. I wonder why. Because they don't see the love and commitment in their parents, in their walk with God. See, their walk is one that fits into a schedule. And if Sunday's available, then God fits in. Ch- Children thrive on role models. Children thrive on boundaries. And they need to see that their parents have a role model. His name is Christ. And he's important and all that is needed in life. One day your children are going to make decisions for themselves, regardless of how close you've walked with God. But you've got to give them every opportunity to come to know him. The most valuable thing a parent has should be the soul of their children. That should be the most valuable thing that they keep and they guard and they protect. Something they need to place into God's hands. There's only one opportunity before a person dies or before the Lord comes, and that's today. And the souls of children are precious. And we need to ask ourselves a question: do they see him at home? You know, make sure they see him before they see what the world has to offer. Bright lights will captivate children. And if they see an empty faith and a dead faith, they're not going to want that when they grow up. They don't want a testimony from their parents that's corrupt without conviction. Where did we go wrong? Parents ask that. At the beginning, when we should have had faith in the love and truth of Jesus Christ. And we see that Noah worked for God. And he worked in faith. Verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. In chapter 7, 5, Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. What was God asking Noah to do? It was to build an ark. Roughly 140 meters long, 23 meters wide, 15 meters high. About the same size, it works out to 500 train carriages. That's a decent size. We're told over 125,000 sheep could fit into it. Three stories high, made of gopher wood, covered with pitch inside and out. There's no problems. That sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? You don't see it much here, but where we're from and down in the southern areas of New South Wales, when you go into a coffee shop or a little diner to have something to eat, the walls are usually covered, because it's timber country, but the walls are usually covered with old photos of men who used to cut down the trees. No chainsaws, no ladders. Just axes and those big saws with two handles. The trees are gigantic. Split them with wedges. Noah had no gear. He walked by faith, trusted in the words of his God. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Noah built the ark in the strength of faith. Faith in a God that can overcome the world. Why? Because he created this world. And nothing done in his strength is too impossible to accomplish. And you can forgive Noah if the thought of it being too impossible had crossed his mind. We look at Genesis 6:17. "Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Noah needed faith to believe all this. And whether you and I want to acknowledge it or not, time is running out. Surely as Christians, we are sick of the devil having no competition in our children's lives. He's got them where he wants them. And if we're not careful, we'll see as others begin to see. Oh, that girl's wonderful. She's an honor student. Oh, that young boy is amazing. He's a star sportsman. Oh, look how clever these children are. They're in university. But they're headed for hell because Jesus hasn't got them. But once we get eternity focused, all our interests change. We won't be taken in by the trivial ways of this world. We'll be occupied with God 100%. All we want to do is live for him. We are ready to go and be in the Savior's presence. We won't be saying at the judgment seat, or hang on a minute, there's a couple of things I need to get right. Too late then, we've got to get them right now. We've got to make things right already. And once we start living like Christ, thinking like Christ, behaving like Christ, seeing the world through the eyes of Christ, seeing the material things like Christ, we'll no longer chase after this world. We'll have new priorities. And that'll be the presence of God in our homes. And you take a good look at this world. You tell me it's not insane. You tell me that it's not too bad. That it's going to work itself out. This world is breaking God's laws. It turns up its nose at God's holiness. It rebukes God's morality. And God is merciful and patient and holding back in his judgment. But God said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There is a day of judgment come, a day of vengeance of our God. And they scoff and they laugh. And they treat God like a fool. And all they do is believe in who and what they are. And what they do. Psalm 14:1 tells us, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. God's desires that his children live for him. And only as we live in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost do we understand the preciousness of the relationship God has brought us into. And Noah obeyed God even though it was beyond his own reasoning. Noah obeyed God even though it was beyond his own resources. And it took faith. He had to depend totally on God to build this ark. And mums and dads, we build a family through faith. When our children see us loving God and obeying God, and accomplishing things that are so out of our control, it can only be explained, God did it. That's building a family through faith. When they see you doing the impossible because God's told you to do it. Now the responsibility for this falls much more on the fathers than the mothers. When your family looks back in years to come, are they going to be able to say, my dad walked by faith, not by sight? Have they seen in my life an experience so awesome, so out of my control, it was only accomplished by footsteps of faith? That there's no way of explaining the outcome but by the words faith in the power of God. Is there something we can put our finger on today that can only be explained by God at work in our lives? You see, so many claim to be people of faith, but we don't do anything the moment it doesn't add up. When it doesn't work out in the checkbook, we stop. The moment we've moved out of our comfort zone, we don't want to go any further. And that's why children reject faith, because they see a dead faith, one of words, but not backed up by decisions. God wants us to make decisions based on faith. And it's sad that in our day that children see sports day more important than the Lord's day. They see party time more important than prayer time. The world's ways have more sway than God's ways. And the question is, when was the last time they saw God leading us to walk the talk? Doing something that we know we didn't know how it's going to be done, except God told us to do it, and that we know that what God wants us to do, and by faith we are going to do it and obey God no matter the cost to us. Now that could well cost us the rebellion against our authority in the home. But we must be obedient to God. Noah also waited on God. He waited 120 years. He's 500 years old when God came to him and said, listen, there's something else I want you to do, Noah. I want you to build an ark because I'm going to bring all the animals in. And 120 years Noah spent toiling away, building the ark, no sign of rain. And not only was he building the ark, but for that 120 years he was preaching to the people, warning them of God's judgment to come. That God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Would that be discouraging? Do you think that might sow some doubt? But what does it tell us about Noah? It tells us that Noah learned to wait on God. Genesis 6:18, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Here's the first mention of a biblical covenant, an agreement that God's not going to let you down. God's protection through the approaching flood is his first installment of a covenant promise. And the question is, has he ever let you or I down? Ever? Have we ever let him down? And we sure have. But leading a family through faith requires both parents to seek God, to be still before God, to wait upon God, to trust in Him, not what we can do ourselves. And it's always our impatience that leads us into struggles and strife. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You may be feeling a bit tired today. Then wait on the Lord to renew your strength. You see, a proper way of understanding God's dealings in life comes only by knowing His importance, His views, His ways for our lives. And this calls for great patience. Wait on the Lord. Now, wait is an action word. It means go about the routines of your life with a fervent heart, an earnest spirit, a patient hope that He'll complete and perfect what is needed in His time, not ours. Listen, God will deal with the troubles that befall us. Noah waited on the Lord. Noah had the inner attitude, and when we get a hold of that same inner attitude and apply it to our lives, God will give us the strength to mount up above the moment, and He'll do it with vigor and vitality and press on no matter what seems impossible to us. And by faith waiting on God, that's what children need to see. No complaining, no criticizing, and no compromising. Parents committed to God, resting in God, and relying upon God. And we need to ask God to bring us to the place where if there's a need in our lives, that we bring it before Him, that He gives us the patience to wait upon Him for the answer. And remember one thing, God is seldom, if ever, in a rush. You ask Noah about that. And whenever we want to hurry anything, we will find it's not God who's pushing things along. It's us doing it in our own strength. Because God never rushes into things. And when we seek God's will about something in life, let's not try to hurry Him up. Even if we're sincere about it, God might be just saying, "Hey, I want you to seek a bit more. I want to work some more prayer into your life, some more patience into your character." He wants to build integrity into our decisions concerning our Christian walk. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You see, the people would have known something was different about him. He was building a boat to start with. They would have been saying, "Noah, what are you doing?" And Noah would have given them the answer, a witness to the great God of heaven and earth. And Noah walked with God. And if we can apply Noah's example to our lives, children will change. Children will see a difference. They'll know something is different in your life, and the family will be strengthened when children hear of the mighty works of God in your own life. Don't pass up the opportunity to share your testimony of what God's doing in front of your children. Let them hear the praise in your prayers. Let them see what He is doing to support the family and the direction he's taking you in. Psalm 78 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandment." I'll give you a New Testament example of this, and that's in Hebrews 11:21, and it says, "By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the sons, both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon his staff." And it's interesting, isn't it, that last little part, leaning upon his staff. Here is Jacob. He's gathered his son and his grandsons together. He's about to die. And he's blessing them. And he's worshipping. And it says, leaning upon his staff. What does that speak to us? What does the Holy Spirit would like us to understand here? Well, Jacob is before his family, and he is sharing the time when the angel of the Lord put a hollow in his thigh, leaning on his staff. He's sharing his encounter with God. He's sharing the time he wrestled with God, he called upon God, and God gave him a victory. When was the last time we sat our family down and gave our testimony of God's encounter in our life before our families? Was it a month ago? A year ago? The year before that? Well, what about the year before that one? Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. You see, this needs to be the goal that we aspire to in showing our children who he is. Pass it on. Tell them what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do. You know, God told Noah to build an ark. He told him, put a window in there, put a door in there. But it was the Lord who shut him in. And they went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Noah took the first step of faith. He didn't wait for the rain to start, then rush around trying to scrape together something that would float. He didn't say, "God, I need a bit more time." Noah also involved his family in what was going on. He involved them in what God was doing. He's building, he's molding to do God's work, and he wanted to see his children's souls saved to God's glory. Now, does Christ satisfy? Does he really satisfy us? See, when Noah got in that ark, he cut himself off from the world. The ark was his joy. The ark was his peace. The ark was you could say, his pleasure and entertainment. In other words, that the ark was his everything. Does Christ satisfy? Is he all our joy? All our peace? All our happiness? You know, children need to see a spiritual strength in their parents, and I'm speaking especially to the fathers. How do we teach our children to stand? How can we expect them to stand against a devil that's running away with this world if parents are not going to stand for Christ? Now, when we let God lead, we can build the family. We can lead the family through faith. We can take footsteps of faith. And the question is, are we in the ark that God has supplied, Jesus Christ? The only one who can save from the flood of judgment to come. Who his own self bare our sins and his own body upon the tree. There's only one way, and we must enter in through the door. Christ is the door of salvation. By me, if any enter in, he shall be saved. Let's make sure that our walk of faith is one that God has complete control of, and that our families see that there is a God, a living God, a real God, one who the parents they look up to show them that he is all in all. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you for the testimony of Noah's life, his faith, his obedience, his commitment to you. And we live in a day, Lord, where that's being lost. We live in a day where people would prefer to be happy than holy. In a day where everything you are and stand for is being replaced by what man wants to stand for. Father, we pray that we would be committed to showing those around us, especially in our homes, the reality of what it means to be in a relationship with you. That we would trust you, walk by faith, obey you, listen to you, have patience with when you work in our lives. That we too be a testimony to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And these things we pray in his precious name. Amen.